1, 2, 3. Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. Got a great hour in store for all of you out there as, again, we will do our best. Monday is always a packed show because we do our best to try and recap all of the local sporting action and beyond that took place through the course of really 3 days. I mean, you're talking Friday evening, Saturday, and Sunday. A plethora of sports to get to on today's current sports. But what we are going to focus on will be the Michigan State football loss in Columbus, Ohio, at Ohio Stadium, at the Shoe. Michigan State getting absolutely, completely dominated. Just absolutely dominated. Nobody saw this loss coming. Well, I should say some people saw it coming, but maybe not in that kind of fashion. A 45-point loss for the Michigan State football team against OSU. What in the world happened? We'll try to dive into that question and come up with the best possible answer, so you don't want to miss that conversation. We will also be welcoming to the show a man who was there to witness it in person on the sidelines, that being Seth Newman, sideline reporter and pregame host at the Spartan Sports Network. Seth was on the broadcast providing listeners with coverage. And I have a lot of questions when it comes to, having Seth on the show because, I mean, he was right there next to the team. He's manning the sidelines. I just want to know what the demeanor was like for that team before the game and during the game as Ohio State really just cruised to an easy dub. So we'll talk MSU football. We'll also dive into yesterday's Detroit Lions win over the lowly Cleveland Browns. Cleveland still winless on the year. I guess they're trying to give the Lions that 0-16 record back in the day, give the Lions a run for their money when it comes to that record, right? So we'll talk about the Lions. They really didn't look, the Honolulu Blue didn't look overly impressive in that game, but a win is a win nonetheless. And we'll also have weekend winners for you. Also, shout out to engineer Isaac Constance. Man, I got a chance to check out the New Orleans Saints a bit yesterday. The Saints look good, man. Your Saints look really good right now. You got to be a happy camper today, right?
Yeah, you know it. I mean, actually, and I'm knocking on wood. If you can't hear it, there it is. Because yep. There are only two teams to actually have lost two games at the start of the season and then gone on to win six straight. The Saints have now won seven straight.
Seven straight.
That being the Dallas Cowboys back in the day with Emmitt Smith, won the Super Bowl that year, and the New York Giants in 2007. We all know that story.
Yeah, definitely. And, I ride or die with my team. You see what I'm... For those joining us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, you guys know I'm a huge Cowboys fan. And I'm rocking, yes, I'm rocking my Dallas Cowboys lid on today's current sports, even though we got absolutely dominated by the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. Chaz Green is the most hated man in Dallas right now. Adrian Claiborne just dominated him throughout the entire game, but Zeke didn't play either. On the defense.
For the Falcons?
Sean Lee for Dallas Cowboys. Okay. He went out with a hamstring injury. Just a bad game overall for my Cowboys, but I ride or die with him, all right? So, Isaac, you're feeling much better than I am today.
I am.
But we'll talk about the Lions, though. We'll talk about the entire spectrum of the NFL right now and dive into the NFC North. The Minnesota Vikings looking really good right now as well. Case Keenum and the Vikings getting another dub yesterday. And then we'll finish up with weekend winners, where we look at the entire weekend in the world of sports and bring to you a few teams and player personnel who we thought had the best weekend in the sporting world. And how about the Detroit Pistons as well? My Detroit Pistons at least looking good right now. All right. Well, you can join the action multiple ways. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. 517-355-9527. And you can also join us via social media, as I mentioned, at facebook.com/currentsports, where we have the live stream up and running as I speak. And you can join us via Twitter as well. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin. WKAR is my official Twitter handle. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Michigan State football team. Mark D'Antonio and the Spartans were unable to escape the wrath of Urban Meyer and the Ohio State Buckeyes in Columbus on Saturday, a 48-3 just mollywhopping in Columbus, Ohio. Sophomore quarterback Brian Lewerke was picked off twice and held to just 131 yards, 18 for 36. Junior wide receiver Felton Davis was unable to make a single catch, and he's been great throughout this year, right? MSU produced 195 yards of total offense, and the Spartans' lone score came on a 37-yard field goal from freshman Matt Coughlin. JT Barrett threw for 2 touchdowns, also rushed for 2. The Buckeyes ran for 335 yards on MSU's then-ranked number 3 run defense in the country. MSU slides to number 22 in the AP Top 25, and I'm curious to see if they even make the college football playoff latest batch of rankings tomorrow night. But they're number 22 in the AP Top 25, and we'll look ahead to Saturday, Senior Day, when a 4-6 Maryland team comes into town, kickoff scheduled for 4 p.m. The University of Michigan football program was able to top Maryland 35-10 on Saturday. U of M quarterback Brandon Peters completed 9 of 18 pass attempts for 145 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the Wolverines are back in the top 25 at number 19, actually, getting ready to travel to Madison, Wisconsin, to take on the number 8 Badgers. Kickoff will be at noon for that game. Miles Bridges led the number 2 ranked MSU men's basketball team with 20 points, 10 boards Friday night to top North Florida 98-66 at the Breslin to kick off the regular season. Freshman forward Jaren Jackson Jr. scored 13 points, had a game high 13 boards, 4 blocks, 3 assists. Nick Ward added 16 points. Josh Langford chipped in 13 points, 5 assists, and 3 steals. And the point guard Cassius Winston scored 12 points and had 8 assists. MSU finished the game shooting 57.4% from the floor, but only 25% from behind the arc. The Spartans will head to Chicago tomorrow to take on number 1 Duke at the United Center for the Champions Classic. And as I speak, Tom Izzo is holding a press conference at the Breslin Center right now. And I've been reading a few tweets online from various beat reporters. And Izzo was asked about his record against Coach Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K. Izzo is 1-10 against Duke and Coach K. Izzo went on to say this afternoon, quote, "If that doesn't change, then I haven't accomplished what I want to accomplish here." So big game for Coach Izzo tomorrow in Chi-Town. All right, Susie Merchant and the MSU women's basketball team will continue its 4-game homestand tonight and will welcome in-state foe Oakland University at the Breslin. 5 Spartans scored in double figures in MSU's 100-58 season opening win against Robert Morris on Saturday. The Spartans are now receiving votes, I should say, in both the AP Top 25 and the USA Today Coaches Poll. Tonight's game will tip off at 7 p.m. I will be there covering that game, so keep it locked to Facebook.com. facebook.com/currentsports around 9 p.m. or so, as I'll bring you highlights and post-game reaction. All right, Michigan State Hockey, welcome the number 7 Wisconsin Badgers to East Lansing this past weekend and split the series 1-1. The Spartans would lose 6-3 on Friday, but would turn around and claim a 2-0 victory the following night. The Badgers put the Spartans in the hole early on Friday with a 3-goal first period. MSU would not respond until early in the third period when they put up a pair of early period goals. Wisconsin would add another one to pull away. Mitchell Lewandowski put up 2 of the Spartans' goals, while Cody Milan would score the other. Now, on Saturday night, the Spartans' focus was on playing with more energy, getting better team defense and goaltending, more aggressive forechecking, and playing more in the offensive zone. MSU improved in each of those areas and got really stellar performances from its top-scoring threat, the line of Patrick Kotarenko, Taro Hirose, and, of course, Lewandowski as well, and goalie John Letheman. And the combination led to a 2-0 win. Spartans will next host a non-Big Ten series with Ferris State this coming weekend, kicking off on Friday night. The MSU women's volleyball team had a strong weekend with 2-3-0 wins over Illinois and Northwestern. Saturday's game would be head coach Kathy George's 251st victory, making her the most winningest coach in program history. With both wins, the Spartans improved to 19-6 on the season. Michigan State actually has only 4 games left in the regular season and next hits the road in a match against Michigan, rival Michigan, on Wednesday night. The Detroit Lions won big again Sunday, 38-24 over the Cleveland Browns for their 4th double-digit victory in 9 games this year. The Lions now improved to 5-4 on the season. The Lions' 6th-ranked run defense got gashed for a season-high 201 yards. Matthew Stafford threw an ugly interception early in the game, and if the Browns hadn't browned their way to the locker room at halftime, Sunday's game might have been, might have had a different outcome. Now, the timely injury of quarterback Deshaun Kizer, who was hit real just right in the chest by Quandre Diggs, and a couple of big offensive plays would ultimately push the Lions to a dub. They will next play the Chicago Bears come this Sunday night. Kickoff kickoff scheduled for 1 p.m. And how about the Detroit Pistons, huh? The Pistons improved to 10-3 after defeating the Miami Heat 112-103 at Little Caesars Arena yesterday afternoon. Tobias Harris scored a game-high 25 with 5 buckets from 3-point land, and Avery Bradley chipped in 25. First-round pick, Luke Kennard. How good was he? He played 28 minutes, scored 14 points on 6 of 11 shooting from the floor with 2 triples. Pistons finished shooting 48.3% as a team and held the Heat to 35.1% from 3-point land. The D will take the next few days off before traveling to Milwaukee to take on the Bucks on Wednesday. That game will tip off at 8 p.m. The Pistons actually have the best home record in the league at 7-1. So LCA treating the red, white, and royal blue quite kind so far this year. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to chip in and chime in on anything on your sports noggin, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, plenty of MSU football talk coming your way in just a moment. We will also welcome to the show Seth Newman, sideline reporter and pregame host at the Spartan Sports Network. We'll talk a little Lions as well and have weekend winners for you. Jam-packed show. Let's keep it a-pushing.
consequently, you know, a meltdown happens, and you know, you got to give Ohio State credit, a lot of credit. They came in ready to play a football game, and obviously we could not, match up with them in terms of the momentum of the game and the different things that happen in a football game. So consequently, you see what happens. You know, they sack us six times, and I think basically a couple of them were at the end. But anytime you give up three or four sacks, negative things are going to happen.
A little Hall and Oates to start your Monday afternoon. One of my favorite rock groups of all time. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Oh, an ugly weekend for you Spartan fans out there. I'm still waiting on Mark D'Antonio's team to show up. Yeah, talk about out of touch. They were out of touch that entire game, right? Michigan State. Just, I couldn't believe. And you know what's so crazy? I mean, Vegas had the line at what? Went from 14 to 15, then to 17. And, you know, we all went on the show last week, and many of you chimed in on that spread and said, Vegas is crazy. Crazy. Absolutely insane. Well, maybe they knew something that we didn't. Yeah, cha-ching, right, Isaac? However, Vegas got the spread wrong. I mean, my goodness, you could have set that spread at like 35. 17 was the spread, and Michigan State just gets completely owned. 48-3, the final. 45-point loss for the Spartans. Oh, boy. You know, I was at Columbus, and I went not as a media member, just, you know, I got a hold of some tickets. Before kickoff, it was kind of a last-minute thing. Drove out there, and first off, hey, Columbus knows how to do it up for a college football game. The atmosphere, if you have never been to Columbus, Ohio, to Ohio Stadium for a college football game, you're missing out. It is an incredible atmosphere. The Shoe is such a cool venue. That was my first time being there and sitting in the Shoe, and I tell you what, there's not a bad seat in the house at Ohio Stadium. I was on the upper deck and could see perfectly fine. You're like kind of like sitting over the field a bit and just looking down at the shape of it. It's so, you know, they've made a lot of upgrades to Ohio Stadium that I didn't even know in recent years. You know, new press box. I had no idea. Well, I forgot, I should say, that the field is AstroTurf. There used to be a track that used to go around the field. They actually took the track out and built an extra area for seats around the base of the field. It's amazing, a really amazing atmosphere. If there's just one gripe I would have, and by the way, the crowd was fantastic. I mean, not an empty seat in the house for that game. And even though it was a 45-point win in favor of the Buckeyes, the fans stayed pretty much the entire game. Quite the contrast to what we see on a Saturday-by-Saturday basis at Spartan Stadium, but the fans stuck around. The atmosphere was great. If there was just one gripe I have, it's that the speakers could have been, the acoustics, when it comes to the speakers inside the stadium, could have been better. They had just like two speakers on the side of the stadium where the scoreboard is, and they weren't that loud. So it was just pretty echoey when it comes to that. So add a few speakers. Yeah, but if that's the only thing I'm griping about, Isaac, I'm really grasping at straws to find something wrong with the stadium.
Yeah, you are. Don't complain about the speakers. Come on.
I mean, yeah, you know, because I'm a music guy, as you know. I love my music, man. So, you know, during when the band wasn't playing, the Ohio State band, which is one of the best bands in the land, by the way, when they aren't playing and you know, you got this dead time during commercial breaks and you want to hear some jams, right? And they would play those jams, but the music sounded so distant from where I was sitting in the stadium. So
that is kind of crazy, though, that Ohio Stadium is the horseshoe does not have good speakers. That seems like a simple upgrade.
Well, it was just weird because the speakers were just like on one side of the stadium. Really weird stuff. But other than that, man, great atmosphere. And I tell you what, I was rocking. And this, you know, it's rare for me. I wasn't there for work. I was just enjoying the game. And it's rare for me to sit up, you know, during a Michigan State game and not covering it as a journalist and just sit there with my green and white on. And you Ohio State fans are so nice. I must say, I mean, you guys must just give the blues to the maize and blue, because I was there rocking my green and white and I was surrounded by scarlet and gray. And you guys, I had a great time with you guys. Phil, you know who you are, sitting next to a guy named Phil and then another guy named Sean. Oh, just class the entire game. Thank you, guys. You really made my first time at the Shoe an enjoyable experience. Now, concerning the game, I'm still looking for this Michigan State football team. I just don't understand how Michigan State, coming off a win like that against Penn State, where Matt Coghlan sends Spartan Stadium, those who came back after the 3-hour and 28-minute rain delay, those who came back, Coghlan sent the stadium in absolute pandemonium. How you have an emotional win like that, and you're tied in the Big Ten East with Ohio State, and you go to the Shoe and you play that bad. I just don't understand it. And, you know, looking at Mark D'Antonio's comments after the game, he was very surprised. He just sounded confused, to be honest. He really did. He couldn't pinpoint why his team was so flat throughout that game. Ohio State, you knew Ohio State was going to turn the focus on after laying a complete egg against Iowa. You knew they were going to be ready and chomp at the bit to get back to it and get and rebound with a nice win. You knew they were going to be focused. Michigan State left their bag still in East Lansing on Saturday. I really couldn't believe it. You know, there are many stats that really stand out when looking at this game. I mean, Ohio State's 45-point win versus MSU was actually the largest margin of victory between the two teams. The previous record was actually set back in 1979 when Ohio State won 42-0. 1979 was the last time we saw a blowout of this kind of magnitude. 1979, that's when you could buy like a Sony Walkman for like $200. That's how long ago that was, folks. I couldn't believe that. And you look at, you know, the rushing yards for Ohio State. I mean, Michigan State, a team that was ranked number 3 in run defense. Number 3. Didn't look like it on Saturday. 335 rush yards. The most for Ohio State since it went for 410 versus lowly Rutgers last season. And then Brian Lewerke, who had just a bad afternoon in Columbus, Ohio. Not really accurate. Inaccurate throughout much of the game. Couldn't find any rhythm. He was pressured numerous times in the backfield, courtesy of that Ohio State defensive line. Lewerke entered Saturday, combining for 845 yards, the two games leading up to this one. Of course, we it's well documented that Brian Lewerke, you know, looked really good these last 2 weeks approaching Ohio State. Back-to-back 400-yard passing games. Completed just 18 of 36 passes for 131 yards, and he was picked off twice against Ohio State. And in the first half, I mean, completing 8 of 22 passes for just 26 yards. That's what Brian Lewerke's stat line looked like at halftime. And then L.J. Scott. And the run game for Michigan State has not been lights out all year. We know that. But L.J. Scott, you know, he gained 20 yards on his first carry. Really thought, okay, all right. Yeah, that's when I started talking trash, actually, up in the stands. I remember, you know, Sean was next to me. And when L.J. Scott ran for 20 yards, I yelled out something like, move the chains, baby, move the chains. And there were a lot of Ohio State fans around me that were cracking up. And then all of a sudden, you know, L.J. Scott, what does he go and do? You know, he had just 10 more yards on his final 7 carries after that 20-yard gain on his first carry. And throughout the entire game, you know what Sean did with his scarlet and gray on? Every time Ohio State got a first down, he said, move the chains, move the chains. I heard that the entire game. It was so funny, Isaac. Everybody was cracking up because I yelled it so loud when LJ Scott picked up that first down. I said, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good day. Move the chains. And then Sean said, okay, you're going to get this the entire game. So great guy, though. Great guy. Great guy. Talking yeah. trash. I love it, right? And Ohio State also became the first home team to win in the series since 2007. So the Road Warrior has usually pulled out this game dating back to 07. Well, that ended on Saturday. But I really can't put my finger on what exactly went wrong for Michigan State from the get-go. I mean, it was a lack of focus. You know, I'm stating the obvious here. I mean, it was a lack of focus. The game plan, I mean, and again, you know, we had Ernie Boone on the show last week. Ernie Boone, sports writer for the Michigan Chronicle, and Ernie was very adamant on, you know, Dave Warner, offensive coordinator for Michigan State. Dave Warner deserving the criticism that he has gotten weekend after weekend for this Spartan offense, with the exception of a few games. And there were moments in that game where Michigan State really dug itself an early hole, where I'm sitting there saying, okay, why are you just running up the gut? These predictable run plays right up the gut that are going nowhere. You know, and too many passes going east and west and not, you know, trying some things down the field. I really didn't understand that either. And give credit where it's due. Ohio State had a great game plan. The defense swarmed, and they made it known quite early that they were going to put pressure on the sophomore quarterback in Brian Lewerke. And it bothered Brian. It really did. It really did. He didn't look comfortable throughout. At not one moment in that game did Brian Lewerke look comfortable in the pocket. So it was very confusing watching that game, I must say. You know, and you look at where things sat at for Michigan State in that moment. I mean, a lot of people were predicting here in East Lansing that Michigan State was going to be competing for a Big Ten championship and possibly booking a ticket to Indy. And when you get blown out, and again, this, if it was a close game, I think that Michigan State fans, let's say Michigan State loses a close one, a lot of Michigan State fans would be happy with that. I mean, you competed at least. But when you get blown out like this, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered. There's plenty of blame to go around, and I think that's something that Mark D'Antonio also reiterated in his post-game presser. And, you know, when it was like, I think Ohio State led like something like 35-3 at the half, Isaac. And, I said to myself, at, you know, waiting for the second half to start, man, I would love to be a fly on that wall just to hear what Mark D'Antonio had to say. But obviously what he said didn't work. I just don't know. You know, and that's the thing you do with a young team. I mean, come senior day this weekend, we're talking, what, 12 seniors that are going to be honored come this weekend. It's not a lot. This is a young Michigan State football team. And I think their youth really showed on Saturday. And I think it sends a message to these young pups as they progress in their Michigan State football careers that you got to bring it every single week. You can't rest on your laurels. Sure, you're leading the Big Ten East. Sure, great victory over a solid Penn State squad, and you hem up a Heisman Trophy candidate in Saquon Barkley. But that consistency must travel with you, especially to a place like Ohio State, and especially playing a team, you know, that's led by Urban Meyer, one of the best in the game. Their focus just was not there. And that's something that's alarming that I think they will learn from. But no one saw this blowout coming.
Well, and what we saw, I predicted this as incorrectly as just about anybody
Everybody
in the
did.
East Lansing
Everybody
area.
Did.
I mean,
even
nothing
Ohio
to be
State
ashamed
fans.
Of.
I had Ohio State yeah. fans coming up to me saying, man.
They're shocked. Yeah,
I thought we win, but I didn't think we get blown. We blow you guys out like that, you know, because this is a matchup that historically in recent years, Isaac, has been very competitive. Ohio State and Michigan State always play each other, especially in the Mark D'Antonio era. Very close. I mean, you can go back to the classic game of Michael Geiger, you know, in the rain in Columbus, knocking, you know, the field goal through the uprights and, mm-hmm. he, you know, the windmill walking off. I mean, these games have been close usually, but I didn't see this coming, dude.
Well, and one thing we saw is Ohio State was ticked off, safe to say. They were upset about that Iowa game, and I incorrectly predicted it because I thought they'd be a little bit resigned. I mean, they've got nothing to play for, if you ask me. I mean, for them, a national championship was the goal. I don't think they get a national championship with this win. There's not a chance for me that they should be voted into the playoff.
Well, Ohio State, but I don't know if anybody should be voted to the playoff.
Yeah.
Even with, now, if only
Wisconsin
one reason,
runs the table.
Now, they don't have to run. Wisconsin, they have to win convincingly. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. When you say run the table, they not only have to win, they have to win convincingly if they want to convince the college football playoff that they deserve to be in. Because so many, I'm going to look at the entire spectrum of the college football world, because we saw Notre Dame fall. We saw Georgia fall as well. What does that do now to the top four, especially in relation to Wisconsin and the Big Ten? Wisconsin is the Big Ten's only hope to go to the college football playoff. And if, let's say they win out, but it's close from here on out, they're not getting in. They have to stomp on cats in order to pad that case against other teams that are already sitting there in the top four, Isaac.
Wisconsin was assisted by one team this weekend, though, and I'll tell you
Notre Dame.
Miami.
Miami, yeah, exactly.
Because the fact was, Miami was untested going into this game. So that X factor for an undefeated team, how good are they actually? That comes into play now with Wisconsin. But they will have a test just like Miami did when they play in the Big Ten Championship against Ohio State. Thing is, Ohio State, we saw that they're not going to take this laying down anymore. They are angry with how this season's gone and the results that happened prior with Iowa. And they're out to prove something. They sure showed that on Saturday.
Yeah, they definitely did. What went wrong for Michigan State? That's what I want to ask you all out there on today's Current Sports. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. How about Mike Weber, the Detroit kid? Mike Weber just ran all up and down on that MSU defense, and also J.K. Dobbins. They both ran for over 100 yards, 162 for Weber, 124 for Dobbins. They became the first two running backs to go over 67 yards on the number three, previously ranked number three, MSU-ranked run defense. Ohio State also, you talk about a blazing start. Ohio State scored touchdowns on five of its first six drives. Let's hit our first break. We'll take your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We will also be talking to Seth Newman, sideline reporter and pregame host at the Spartan Sports Network, to get his thoughts on the MSU football loss to Ohio State. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, our primary focus on today's show is the Michigan State football loss at the Shoe to the Ohio State Buckeyes. It was a 45-point loss for the Spartans. 48-3, the final of that matchup. Really hard to pinpoint why MSU came out with the lack of focus that it did. They looked flat on both sides of the football. Just didn't show up. Didn't show up in Columbus, Ohio. And before we bring on our guest for today's Current Sports, that being Seth Newman, sideline reporter and pregame host at the Spartan Sports Network, a brief look at the college football scene as it pertains to the college football playoff right now. I mean, we saw this past weekend, number one Georgia and number three Notre Dame both lose on Saturday. Not just lose, but you talk about getting mollywopped. They both got mollywopped on Saturday, right? So that's going to shake up things a bit. And, you know, if I had to choose my four teams now, I mean, you got to put Alabama up there. You have to put Miami in the mix, Oklahoma and Clemson. That's my top four right now. And, you know, for the three remaining undefeated major conference teams, those being Alabama, Miami, and Wisconsin, you know, a lot of, again, as you heard my thoughts on Wisconsin, you know, if Wisconsin wants to make a case and represent the Big Ten in the college football playoff, they not only have to go to Indy and win the Big Ten championship, but they have to do it convincingly, Because right now, the perception of Wisconsin nationally is that who have you played? Who have you played? Now, again, you play Ohio State in Indy, and Ohio State is looking good right now, you know, especially with that blowout victory over the Spartans on Saturday. But, you know, you look at the loss to Iowa and you say you kind of just scratch your head. So Ohio State isn't as sexy as they once looked earlier this year, you know, starting with the loss to Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma. But, you know, Alabama, Miami, you know, if they win out, you know, they get in. But Wisconsin still has some work to do. Now, Alabama would have to win at Auburn, which is looking really good right now, especially, you know, that victory over the weekend against Georgia. Alabama would have to win at Auburn and over Georgia in the SEC championship game. Now, Alabama beaten up, injuries left and right, especially on the defensive side of the football. And I tell you what, that win against Mississippi State was not easy. Jalen Hurts put that team really on his back in the final moments of that game. Very impressive what Jalen Hurts was able to do. But Alabama's beaten up. So, and I think they can be beat, you know, at Auburn and against Georgia. Those are going to be really interesting games. And Nick Saban, you know, I'm pretty sure he's pulling his hair out just thinking about those two games. But, you know, if Alabama wins out, they'll be in, of course. Miami will face Clemson for the ACC title game. Miami just absolutely dominated Notre Dame. And they actually found out before kickoff that they will be playing in the ACC championship game because of what happened to Virginia. But Miami looked great. I think they had something like four turnovers, four takeaways, and they had, you know, one interception that went to the house, a pick six that went to the house. That turnover chain was in much use, let's just say, on Saturday night, which, by the way, that's a great idea. I mean, who doesn't love the turnover chain, right? Shout out to the U, whoever came up with that idea, absolutely genius. But Miami will face Clemson for the ACC title. Wisconsin, again, still had to get by Michigan and Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. I'm assuming that Ohio State will handle business and be in that Big Ten championship game. And, you know, the list, you know, of current contending one-loss teams right now is down to two, that being Clemson and Oklahoma. Oklahoma looks really good right now. So, you know, you might see the Sooners ahead of the Tigers this week, but I believe if they both went out, you know, Clemson's victory over Miami would lift it back ahead of OU. Miami, which would also be a one-loss team in this scenario, would finish behind both teams, I think, possibly. We'll see. Now, I don't believe that Wisconsin, gosh, it's going to be a lot of things have to go right for Wisconsin to have to make the playoff. They have to really root against whoever's sitting up there right now. It's going to be very hard for them, though. And Alabama, again, it's going to be interesting looking at Bama because, you know, Alabama will be interesting either at 12-1 as a loser to Georgia in the SEC title game, or even at 11-1 if it would drop against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. Do they still get in, or do you put undefeated? That's what it really gets interesting. Let's just say, for kicks and giggles, Isaac, let's just say if Alabama, you know, loses to Georgia in the SEC title game, or let's say they lose in the Iron Bowl, don't get a ticket to the SEC championship, but Alabama is still Alabama. Wisconsin goes undefeated, but they don't look very great, you know, going undefeated. Mm-hmm. Lollipop schedule. Would you put Wisconsin in the playoff?
Undefeated?
You look at an Alabama team that goes, you know, with one loss.
Yeah, I would not put them over Alabama in any means. It would depend on that right. ACC championship game result, whether Clemson has two losses or one at the end of the season. But here's an interesting scenario, because I was just looking at this. There is a way that Ohio State can still get into the playoffs, if you ask me.
And Al, stop it, Isaac.
Wait, entertain
this thought.
You're wasting
your breath.
Entertain this thought.
Okay, go ahead.
Alabama runs the table. That means that they take off Auburn, who then would have three losses on the season. They disqualify Auburn. And then they also beat Georgia in the championship game. Georgia has two losses. Both of those are out of the way. Clemson goes down to Miami, meaning Miami's another undefeated team, clear top two team in the country. Ohio State beats Wisconsin and runs the table. They're 10-2. Then Oklahoma suffers another loss before the end of the year. And Ohio State could be the best two-loss team in the country.
I tell you what, right now, the best two-loss team in the country, Auburn.
Yes, by far. But I'm saying if Alabama beats Auburn.
All of that has to go right, Isaac.
I know, but I'm saying it's not impossible. We've seen crazy, crazy stuff.
Especially Oklahoma is rolling.
Oklahoma seems to be the most difficult chain to break in that sequence.
They're not good. I mean, right now, Baker Mayfield and that team is looking really good. But, the only two-loss team, you know, with their realistic chance to get in the playoff at this time is Auburn, you know, which could win the SEC at 11-2 with the win over Alabama. And two victories over Georgia, for goodness sake, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that would make a strong statement. But the only potential one-loss teams the Tigers would definitely finish ahead of are Alabama and Wisconsin. So there's so many scenarios being kicked around right now. I'm curious to get your thoughts. But those are my top four. And I don't know, would you agree with that, Isaac? If you would say, you know, right now, today, it has to be, you know, Alabama, Miami, Oklahoma, and Clemson. Those have to be the top four teams right now based on what we saw, how things unfolded on Saturday. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports, because I really want to dive into, you know, a firsthand account, especially, you know, being on the sidelines, being next to this team as they endured that brutal loss, that, you know, Michigan State enduring that brutal loss to the Ohio State Buckeyes on Saturday. Seth Newman, sideline reporter and pregame host at the Spartan Sports Network. Seth, how you doing, my man?
Hey, Al, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am fantastic, dude. I'm doing better than a lot of Spartan fans are doing come this this Monday afternoon, right?
Oh, I hear that. Yeah, I got a lot of text messages on Saturday night, so
I'm sure.
I don't think I ever looked forward to a Monday as I did today.
Yeah, you can say that again, right, Seth? So Seth, I just from a firsthand standpoint, I mean, you being a sideline reporter, you know, and pregame host at the Spartan Sports Network and being so close to this team, I mean, what was the demeanor like before the game? Because it looked like, I mean, from start to finish, Michigan State just looked so flat. You know, the focus wasn't there. No one saw this coming.
No, nobody did see this coming. And this was the game that I think many people expected last year for Michigan State against Ohio State. And last year's game, the one where they lost by 1 point, is probably the game that many people expected to see this year as far as showing up and being competitive.
Right.
They simply did not show up, and Coach D'Antonio was very honest about that in our post-game interview with him. He said, you know, the Buckeyes outflanked them, outplayed them, outworked, outblocked, out-executed. Anything you can think of, Ohio State did it better, and he gave them credit for that. And being on the sidelines before the game, there was no excitement from the Spartans. There was no rah-rah or swagger. It was, you know, it was almost like a zombie-type feel that they just weren't prepared for this game. And when you are playing for a chance to win the Big Ten East Division title, and when you are, you know, playing for a possible Big Ten championship down the road, you would think that there would be that excitement on the sidelines. You would think that there would be, you know, players jumping up and down, and especially against Ohio State, when you have 26 players from the state of Ohio who are there for their homecoming to beat the Buckeyes, to play in front of their family, you would think there'd be some emotion, but there wasn't. And the entire body language of the team, you know, you would hear some chatter like, hey guys, like, let's go get a touchdown or let's go get that stop. But the body language was so negative and so completely the opposite of that. By the time that it was 14-0, you know, the sense of not wanting to be there only increased. And I have never seen that from a Mark D'Antonio team, that it just looked like the guys just wanted to get out of there. And that, you can't be like that when you're playing for a Big Ten East Division title. And it's something that you don't see from a Mark D'Antonio team. And he says every phase, Ohio State beat them, and I would have to agree with that.
So, Seth, you clearly noticed a difference pregame on the field in comparison to other games that the Spartans have played in this season. Where do you pinpoint that to? Because, you know, you would think, I mean, coming off an emotional victory like that we saw against Penn State the week prior to, you think going to the Shoe, I mean, this team is amped up, ready to go. The energy is there. Where do you pinpoint that lack of energy?
Well, you know, you would think that Ohio State would be that team to have the lack of energy after coming off a blowout loss to Iowa.
Right.
And Michigan State would be that team that really brings it with a top 10 victory against Penn State. I simply do not know what the case was, why they didn't show up against Ohio State, because you're playing for everything. Your season's on the line. And I don't know if maybe the moment was just too big for this young team that it's puzzling. And I really am struggling to get the answers to why there was no excitement, why there was no swagger, because this team does have that swagger. They have that Spartan D defense that Chris Fry and Joe Bocci were trying to bring back. And you look at that Spartan defensive line that's been so ferocious throughout this entire season.
Right.
Mark D'Antonio usually doesn't do this. He usually lets the position coaches do their own huddles. But about halfway through that first quarter, he goes to the defensive line and he goes, "You guys are playing at this level." And he had his hand below his knee. And he goes, "You guys got to be playing up here." And he put his hand above his head and he goes, "Show me some intensity, show me some emotion, show me something." And they didn't show anything because Ohio State gashed them up the middle, around the edge. They did whatever they wanted. And, they looked scared out there. And I hate saying that, but that's just the truth.
Very true, Seth. And as I mentioned in segment A, the 45-point loss, the largest loss ever in school history against Ohio State for Coach D'Antonio. Was the worst in D'Antonio's 11 seasons as head coach at Michigan State. You mentioned, the run game for Ohio State. The Buckeyes gained 335 yards on the ground, the most against one of D'Antonio's MSU teams. And the Spartans also gave up a season high 524 total yards. What were the Buckeyes able to do to really expose the Michigan State defense on Saturday, Seth? Because what really surprised me was the runs that happened just right up the middle, between the center and the guard, just right up the middle to the house. And I'm sitting there saying, and the guy, I think it was, who was it, Mike Weber that just took it to the house relatively easily. And I'm sitting there saying, my goodness, he went untouched. What was the Buckeyes able to do that really confused Michigan State's run defense?
Well, Al, I think you used a really good word there, and that was exposed, because a lot of people coming in this game thought Michigan State's run D was elite, and I was one of those people, because when you look back at their, so-called blowout loss to Notre Dame didn't necessarily push them around and get those big gaping holes, and Notre Dame has a great offensive line. Michigan State's defense was able to hang, with the rush D that they're known for, and against Ohio State, that just was not the case. They would open any hole. You could pick any hole on the offensive line. And if they said, we're going to open up this hole, that's what they would do. And I don't know if, Michigan State's defensive line, if they got hit on the chin early that game and they didn't like it and they kind of, went into a shell like, this isn't going to be fun at all today. So, That's to me what happened was that they got hit on the chin early and they didn't like it. And they kind of succumbed to that feeling of we're going to get pushed around all day. And that's what Ohio State did. It didn't matter who had the ball in the backfield for Ohio State, whether it was J.K. Dobbins, whether it was Mike Weber, and even J.T. Barrett. He had some runs too. You look at these stats, you said it, 335 yards. And then Mike Weber, 18 yards a carry. That's just insane. And on the flip side for Michigan State, the last few games they've been relying on Brian Lewerke to throw the ball because the run game this entire year has not been going for Michigan State, which is uncharacteristic of a Mark D'Antonio team.
Right.
But when the run game is not working for Michigan State and the pass game is not working for Michigan State, it's going to be a very long day. And Ohio State made sure of that.
Seth Newman of the Spartan Sports Network joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports. And here we go with the early bowl projections now in light of the Michigan State loss against Ohio State, Seth. And I'm looking here online, and Jason Kirk of SB Nation has the Spartans playing in the Holiday Bowl. If things were to end the day right now in San Diego against Arizona, Jerry Palm of CBS Sports has the Spartans in the Outback Bowl against the LSU Tigers. And also I'm seeing from Sports Illustrated, they're predicting the Pinstripe Bowl against Georgia Tech right now. A reaction to that right now. Now, again, it's so early. And again, you know, college football, especially today with the playoff, putting the playoff in perspective, it changes from week to week to week. But do any of those bowls surprise you at all, Seth?
Yeah, the Pinstripe Bowl kind of surprises me because I feel like that's for like the fifth or sixth Big Ten team.
Right?
I don't really,
exactly.
I don't think the Spartans deserve that. I think the Outback Bowl is probably where they'll end up because you got to look, you know, I don't want to look too far ahead, but you have to think Michigan State beats Maryland and Rutgers. And you have to think that Michigan probably loses to Wisconsin and probably loses to Ohio State. That should definitely put them below the Spartans as far as where they're headed, and Michigan State does have that head-to-head win over Michigan. Mm-hmm. So I would expect the Outback Bowl for the Spartans, and you know, I'm okay with that. I can work on my tan in Florida. I need to, you know, do that. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm sure you're not complaining about that, right, Seth?
No, I'm not. You know, I haven't. The Outback Bowl, that's at Tampa Bay Buccaneer Stadium, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'd like to see those cans go off. I'd be down with that.
I'm sure. And that'd be beautiful around late December, right? For sure, Seth.
Oh,
definitely.
You know, that Michigan winter down to Florida. Sign me up. I'm already 65 years old, I feel like, so might as well just head down there for retirement.
I'm with you, Seth. All right, before I get you out of here, Seth, I mean, a lot of Spartan fans out there are feeling pretty down about, you know, of course, the outcome on Saturday. Is there anything that, you know, when you evaluate this game from start to finish, is there anything encouraging that Spartan fans can take away from, you know, the game out in Columbus on Saturday, Seth?
Well, I you know, it's encouraging that it's over. They don't need to relive it. They can burn the film. They can delete it from the DVR.
Right.
One thing that is encouraging is that you mentioned that this is the worst loss under D'Antonio. He's been here 11 years. Okay, so that's pretty encouraging that it took 11 years for a terrible loss like this to happen. So, you know, the Michigan State program is in great hands. This is a young team that is already maybe a year or two ahead of themselves, especially coming off from a 3-9 season. You're looking at going 9-3 this year. That is an incredible turnaround and one that many people did not expect to happen so quickly. So just know that it's over, block it from your memory and move forward. And I know that's what the Spartans are going to do. I talked to Mike Tressel in my post game and this definitely made me laugh because Coach Tressel isn't very big on post-game interviews. Mm-hmm. And especially after this game, he just looks at me because he sees me coming and he just goes, "Oh, great." And it, you know, it made me chuckle to hear him like that because he's definitely one of those hard-nosed guys to talk to. But he said this team's just going to put their heads down. They're going to move past it. So, you know, Spartan fans that are worrying about the future, don't, because this team is in good hands.
Yeah, and they've already, you know, in my opinion, surpassed many people's expectations for this season, right, Seven? Then you got, you know, Maryland and Rutgers, two lollipops coming up to finish the year, right?
Yeah, I mean, you already have 7 wins, and you have Maryland and Rutgers, two of the easiest, I don't want to say easiest because I don't mean any disrespect, but yeah, two teams that you should win against in the East Division to finish the year. This is where you build confidence, you build momentum, heading into next season where the Spartans are going to be expected, again, to compete for that Big Ten East Division title. And you can bet next year Ohio State comes here, they're going to be – that will be a point where they do remember last season or this season because that was ugly, and they are going to be motivated to get the Buckeyes next year.
His name is Seth Newman of the Spartan Sports Network. Seth, thank you so much for your time, my man. Fantastic job.
Hey, Al, thanks for having me. Anytime, just call.
You got it. All right, let's close out our show after our second break. When we come back, we'll hit you with our weekend winners. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. by to WKAR's current sports. We have exactly 3 minutes left in the show. Let's get a quick call in. We've got Dave from Wyoming on line one. Dave, what's up, my friend?
Well, first, I wouldn't say sometimes better is just better. To quote the Detroit Free Press late writer George Puskas, talking about the Lions one time, sometimes better is just better, and I think that's what happened over the weekend. I mean, I'll call it a perfect storm. Ohio State needed a statement. It wasn't good enough for them just beat Michigan State by 2 points or a touchdown. They had to make a statement to try to lobby their way into being considered for the tournament at the end of the year if they win out. And I also think that Urban Meyer doesn't have a bunch of dummies on his staff either. They saw what happened to them in Iowa, and they saw what Iowa did to them. And they, I think, made a heck of a lot of good corrections. And, Michigan State's young line sure looked like a young line. And Ohio State got into Joe Bocci's face almost all day. He was not a factor most of the time, which you can really say that accounted for a lot of the rushing yards, right? And I'm in agreement with your guest that he said, if you're going to finish the season, finish it with the two teams you got coming up. Much better than to finish it with Iowa and Ohio State or Michigan and Ohio State. Anybody who said that at the beginning of the year that they thought Michigan State three losses would be Michigan State wouldn't beat Michigan, wouldn't beat Penn State, I think you could say, would beat Penn State, would be and would just lose to Ohio State. Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Thank you, Dave. We got 36.
Thanks.
Right. Very true. No, I'm with you, Dave, and thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. We got literally 20 seconds left, but I think Dave makes some great points there, which I have to elaborate on tomorrow's show. One weekend winner, Detroit Pistons. How about them? Sitting second place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Great stuff. We'll see you tomorrow, folks, and be easy, people.